And good afternoon. Welcome back to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan, of course, with you. And so on the phone with me right now is Commissioner Kevin Boozle. And the reason I have him on today is because he put this interesting survey up about classrooms and schools and parents' concerns. And I wanted to talk to him about that, especially because we'll be talking to the schools here in just a couple of days about their plans. And we'll be doing that over quite a few days. But Commissioner Boozle, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate you being here.
Tracy, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So first of all, why did you put this together?
Well, we've been talking about this. We've been watching this unfold in the news, both local and national, about the education going, returning back to school. Obviously, my background is teaching for many years, and so I look at this as a parent, I look at this as a teacher, I look at it as the community, and saying, what is the right thing? And literally, I don't think anybody has the right answer, but I do find that people are interested in what people are thinking, so I figured, why not just ask? And so that's how the survey became.
As a former educator, do you find that this situation for any school district is like an impossible situation? Not that it can't be done, not that we can't educate students, but any decision, you got opinions from all sides coming in.
Right. I mean, I have a national briefing with the President Trump administration today at 11:30 to talk about some of the things that they're trying to do for safe reopening America. And so I try my very best to keep this very nonpartisan, and I try to listen to both sides and think which way will the school district best benefit and how will the students and parents best benefit. So, you know, we're talking about $13 billion is being made available to support K-12 from the federal government. And when they're asking for another $105 billion as part of the coronavirus relief package for schools to reopen. I don't know how that equates, this is national, I don't know how that equates coming into the state and what the states then, they massage it and do what they would like to do. So, I mean, here's the school districts and superintendents, my heart goes out to them because you're looking at guidance and information from both the state Department of Health, you're looking at it from the national CDC, and so they're getting bombarded with information, and so this is somebody that's studying it and looking at it every day, these superintendents. I can't imagine what the parents are going through because they don't have access to all of the things that they're looking at. They're just hearing sound bites.
And longtime educators, I'm sure they have seen quite a bit. And when crises or situations come up, they have some kind of background to be able to deal with this. Even the veterans in the industry have never had to deal with this before.
No. And, you know, we've always had, the common cold, flu season. You know, you can almost kind of bank on it every year.
Yeah, right.
And that's okay, right? So, you know that about 10% of your students are going to be missing in January, February area. And that's okay. You can plan out. This is completely different. This is lifelong. It doesn't seem to have a pattern, a beginning and end. So it's a real struggle. My heart really does go out to these folks.
Your survey is available for folks to continue to give their opinions. And I'll briefly go through those questions for folks to understand what's on this. But what do you plan on doing with the information?
Well, I think for one, I get a lot of calls from parents wanting to know where the schools are. Every school district's a little different. They have different plans and so on. The one thing that I think that they discern from this, when parents take the survey, they actually get to see the results of where everyone else is. So kind of gauges a global aspect of what's happening in my community. So that's one, so directly to the parent. The second is obviously just to the public. I leave it open on the website just because it'll be open until September 1st, by the way. And I leave it open just so that educators, teachers, school districts could have access to it. I'll share it with anybody that would like to see it. It's only draft until September, but I've been able to print out pretty good statistics from what's happening so they can gauge what's happening in their own community, in their own school district, as to what's the feeling like for these parents and where are they with sending their students.
And you said it's on the website. What website? Where do we go?
I use primarily social media, so I use my Facebook account, which is Commissioner Boozle. I have a Twitter account, Boozle from Butler, and I have a LinkedIn. I put it on all three. But I also, like I said, share it with whomever, and there's a real quick link if you don't want to go to any of those places. It's just it's tinyurl.com/back to school 2020 survey. Back to school 2020 survey. Okay. If you don't have it, you can reach out. I can get it to you.
You don't have that many questions, so it's not like it's going to take someone a half an hour to fill this out. But are you a Butler County resident, and do you have school-aged children? Do you have any concerns surrounding COVID-19? And if you have children returning to school in the fall, do you support the following plans? And then there's a question on here. If you are notified of a positive case in your child's school, how likely are you to send them back to the classroom for the studies? So tell us what you are seeing so far off of your questions.
Sure. So as of right now, there's almost 350 responses, which is a pretty good survey. We have about 98% are Butler County residents that have responded. We also have about 91% have school-aged children. And then any concerns? Now, this is just a very open kind of thing. Question. So, you know, you hear about it, so politicized, it's this, it's that. I don't care about that. I want to know, do you have any personal concerns with it? And so we're looking about 30% said, no, I don't have any concerns at all. We have about 62% that said yes. And we have about 8.5% that are unsure. They're just not sure. So if you add that up, you've got about 70 to 30 split. So that kind of gives you an idea where the community is in general. And then if you have children returning to school in the fall, do you support the following plans? The following plans are 100% let's go back to the classroom. 100% let's do virtual learning is the second option. The third option is, what about a mix, a hybrid model with some in class and some at home? What does it look like? The fourth option is, I'm sure, I really don't know. And the fifth option is, I don't have school. And so on those numbers, you're looking about, for 100% let's go back to school, you have about 37% of the people agree that let's just go back to school. As far as virtual learning, 100%, let's not go back to school, let's just do it at home, is about 30%. That was a higher number than I expected. We also have mixed or hybrid, let's do something in between, about 21%. So just taking those three into account and removing the unsure, which is about 8%, and another 4% that are that don't have school age, so about 12%, so about 90% of the group, 37% all in, let's go back to school, and you have about 50% that are either 100% virtual or a hybrid model. So the schools know that, and they're trying, I believe, to accommodate all of those requests. And then the final question is, and this is a pretty telling question, if you're notified of a positive case in your child's school, how likely are you to send them back to school? And this is a very telling. 100% said, I will send them back 100%. It's about 26% of the people said, I understand. They mitigate it. They clean it up. They do whatever. I feel comfortable, 26%. 75% of the people, 75% chance I'll send them. About 13, or it was actually a response of 45 people. 50-50, not quite sure. Only 17 people, or about 5%. Now, here's the telling part. Either 0%, like absolutely not sending my child, is about 46%.
And that's rather high. So, and hearing all the stats, we can get lost in those stats, but that is the point right there. It's interesting when you go through this and to pick out a couple of things that you said. So in earlier questions, most people seem to be, or it seemed like to be an even split when you're talking about, yes, I'm going to send them back or let's do virtual learning. And then when you get to that hybrid model, it seemed to be like an even split there. But then when you get back to that last question that you mentioned, and it's, are you going to send them back if you have cases? Nearly half said no. No, I'm not.
The definite game changer.
So, and that has to be
schools need to be aware of that.
Right. I was going to say that has to be difficult for schools because in one school district I know of, and again, we'll be talking to all the school districts next week, but there is a request that you choose for 9 weeks. You know, which way you're going to go? Well, then what happens if you make a choice and then you have these cases? Excuse me. Then you have these cases, and then all of a sudden you don't want to send your child back. That's going to be difficult for a school to have to weed through.
Well, sure. I mean, you have to build confidence and trust with your parents, and I know that is difficult on a good day. But if you had this in, how do I know that my child will be safe? And, you know, I do believe that the schools have a pretty good plan from working with the Department of Health and working with CDC, that they have a mitigation process. I mean, I know Tracy Vitale and Brian Wayne and Tom Tomasky, all of these superintendents that we talk to regularly, all three commissioners, talk to the superintendents almost a weekly basis or every other week basis and really talk through these issues. And, you know, they're trying to run together, but one of the latest recommendations or guidances changed the game for the school districts. And, you know, in their recommendations, those school districts still have the final say on how they do this. So that, so again, we're seeing something else change. So I think this is important for parents and families to understand. Instead of getting a directive from the Department of Education or Department of Health, they're getting recommendations. And so this falls squarely on the shoulders of the superintendents, who have a lot of pressure on them now to say, okay, well, here's a recommendation, but here's where we're going. And you know, that's a concern for them, and understandably. But I recommend that parents stay tuned into their school and what their plan is. They are posting them on a website. They're taking questions. They're taking suggestions. They've really done a phenomenal job of trying to stay connected to parents and their concerns. There's no right answer. There's just not a right answer. But there's a lot of suggestions and a lot of moving parts from federal to state to local departments of education.
And all I can say, again, without talking to the superintendents at this point, all I can imagine is they're trying, because every family has a different situation, whether it's technology issues, or maybe there are special needs in the family, or maybe they don't have transportation, or maybe it's the food issue. You know, I mean, there's so many issues out there that that's a very difficult situation, I can only imagine, to try to fit a mold for thousands of kids.
Right, and teaching in elementary education is where I taught, and I also worked in an autistic classroom style. I can tell you that you can make all the plans you want, and then reality happens in the classroom.
Right, yeah.
You're not going to get the six-foot distancing. The masking, you can say wear a mask, it's not going to happen. Not to the extent that people would want them to or not want them to. It depends on the parent. But I think that they are in an impossible situation where they're not going to be able to just click a button and get it done. It's not that easy.
Yeah. Commissioner Kevin Boozle with this particular survey. You can catch on his social media pages or go online. And if you could just remind us where we go online to search for that, then I'll let you go and get back to your work that you need to get done.
Well, I appreciate that. Again, you can go directly to any of my sites. I have Commissioner Boozle on Facebook. I have Boozle for Butler on Twitter. And LinkedIn is just Commissioner Kevin Boozle. They can go to any three of those, or they can go directly to the survey at tinyurl.com/backtoschool2020survey. tinyurl.com/backtoschool2020survey, no spaces.
Well, thank you for doing the survey, and thank you for sharing it with us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Tracy, and good luck with your interviews with the superintendents. I'm sure they'll be great.
And thank you for those well wishes. You have a good day.